But in the North, many people were beginning to question Grant. All they saw in Virginia was this series of very bloody encounters, none of which seemed to really have a clear winner or loser. The huge battle in the wilderness, well, who really won? It's hard to tell. Huge battle at Spotsylvania, who won? Hard to tell. Now at Cold Harbor, another big battle, and here you could tell who won, and it wasn't Ulysses S. Grant. Many of the newspapers began to question this persistent attacking strategy of Grant's, especially the Democratic newspapers in the North. Here's the genesis of the Grant the Butcher image that is so prevalent in so much of the literature. The image of Grant that overlooks the brilliant maneuver and relatively light casualties of the Vicksburg campaign, for example, and focuses instead on these heavy blows that he's delivering, very costly blows against the Army of Northern Virginia in 1864. And the fact that Lee was pinned down and that the Army of Northern Virginia was also suffering horrible losses did not really make an impression on many people in the North. All they could see was no real victory, and they could read about these losses, these escalating losses beyond anything they'd been prepared for, even by the big battles earlier in the war. Lee seemed to be doing quite well. He was proving himself as adept at defensive maneuvering and fighting as he had long since proved to be at offensive maneuvering and fighting. But Lee knew that Grant was slowly accomplishing what the Federals needed to accomplish, that is, pushing Lee back toward Richmond, circumscribing the area in which Lee could maneuver. At the time of Cold Harbor, Lee had a talk with Jubal Early and said that if Grant managed to push the Army of Northern Virginia across the James River, that would result in a siege, and a siege would result in the loss of the army. Lee is not confused about what's going on, and he, as we'll see in later lectures, desperately looks for a way to try to reorient the strategic situation in Virginia. After Cold Harbor, Grant explained his planning in this way. This is how Grant described what he was doing. He said, "My idea from the start has been to beat Lee's army, if possible, north of Richmond. Then, after destroying his lines of communication north of the James River, to transfer the army to the south side of the James and besiege Lee in Richmond, or follow him south if he should retreat." Well, he hadn't beaten Lee decisively in the field. We've seen that. And we've also seen that Butler failed, moving against Richmond from the south. He's still stuck down in between the Appomattox and James River. Butler has just been sitting there at Bermuda Hundred, as that little piece of ground is called, not being much use to anybody. Grant decided that in light of his failure north of the river and in light of Butler's failure, that it was time to cross the James River, get the bulk of the Army of the Potomac to the south side of the James River, and approach Richmond from the south, that is via Petersburg, which is the key city immediately south of Richmond, 25 miles below the Confederate capital. It's a rail junction and a water key to the Confederate capital. Both waterborne and railborne supplies headed for Richmond go through Petersburg. In order to do this, Grant would execute another one of his turning movements around Lee's flank, this time a very long one that would bring him in well behind Lee's right flank. This isn't one similar to what he's been doing down from the Wilderness to Cold Harbor. He's going to disengage completely from the Army of Northern Virginia here and try to get away from him entirely and come in from the other direction. On June 12, 1864, Grant began what turned out to be a brilliantly successful move around the Confederate right flank. It's one of the great movements of the war. He fooled Lee completely, left a few troops behind to hold Lee's attention, and then shifted his immense army southward. The Union engineers constructed one of the most impressive pontoon bridges of the entire war across the James River, a feat of engineering that left officers on both sides in awe. Really, they did it quickly. It was just a spectacular movement on the part of the Army of the Potomac. And on June 15th, a large Federal corps was just outside Petersburg with another one not far behind. This is the 18th Corps and the 2nd Corps, Winfield Scott Hancock's 2nd Corps. These two Union corps approaching Petersburg. Lee thought Grant was making another small turning movement, such as he had executed after the Wilderness and Spotsylvania and on the road to Cold Harbor, and he kept his entire army north of the James.